Chapter 11, Compassion. The practice of the compassionate mind is very important and helpful to everyone, to religious and non-religious people alike. Even if we cannot conceive of the ultimate benefits of practicing the compassionate mind, there are many temporary benefits of compassion. A person who lacks the compassionate mind does not have a good heart. One day, when the great Tibetan yogi Milarepa was meditating in a cave, he heard some noise outside and then saw a large number of wild animals coming toward his cave. Milarepa thought that an enemy must be chasing the animals. A dog belonging to a hunter appeared next and sat down outside Milarepa's cave with the other animals. The wild animals and the hunter's dog became friends. After a short while, the hunter arrived. He was extremely surprised to see that his dog, which he had trained to chase and catch other animals and the wild animals, had become friends. The friendship of the dog and the wild animals came about because of Milarepa's blessing. But the hunter thought that Milarepa had used black magic on his dog, and he became very angry. He said to Milarepa, "What did you do to my dog? Usually my dog can catch any animal." The hunter became still more enraged and said to Milarepa, "I want to kill you." Milarepa answered, "You have a human being's form, but an animal's mind." Lord Buddha said, "The human form is very precious. However, a human form like yours are not precious. Your mind and the mind of an animal are the same." Thus, Milarepa stated that although people who have no compassion have a human form, they have an animal's mind. Because we have obtained a precious human form, it is very important to practice compassion. The compassionate mind will be explained here in four sections. The first section will give the definition of compassion. The second will outline the benefits of practicing the compassionate mind. Next, the object of the compassionate mind will be discussed. Fourth, the way to practice the compassionate mind will be explained. The definition of compassion. The compassionate mind is defined as a wholesome thought which wishes others to be released from their suffering. The compassionate mind wants the sufferings and problems of other sentient beings to relieve. If a member of our family and our father, for instance, were ill and we develop a strong desire for him to be freed from his illness, this would be an example of compassion. Or if a friend has problems and we wish him to relieve of these problems, this is also a compassionate mind. It is possible that sometimes compassion may be mixed with attachment. When we develop compassion for relatives or friends, sometimes this compassionate mind is also mixed with attachment. Even though this compassionate mind is mixed with the deluded mind of attachment, it is nevertheless important to practice and cultivate compassion for our friends and relatives. At first, if we have no compassion for our friends and relatives, how can we develop a compassionate mind toward other beings? Therefore, developing the compassionate mind which wishes our friends and relatives to be freed from their suffering is a starting point for the development of wider compassion. If we develop a very powerful wish for all sentient beings to be relieved of their sufferings, this is the mind of great compassion. In the beginning, it is very difficult to develop this great compassionate mind for all sentient beings. In order to attain the great compassionate mind, we should first practice compassion for a small group of beings, gradually extending to this to include all sentient beings. It is easy to understand that the compassionate mind is a thought which wishes sentient beings to be relieved of their suffering, but it is enough to understand the compassionate mind intellectually. At the same time, we should try to practice it. To practice the compassionate mind, we generate compassion mentally. In order to meditate on compassion, for instance, it is unnecessary to perform any physical action. The essential thing is to develop compassion in our mind, to turn our mind in a positive direction. The benefits of the compassionate mind. It is said that there are many benefits to be gained by practicing the precious mind of compassion. If we practice the compassionate mind, it helps us to experience happiness and tranquility, and also helps to give tranquility to the mind of others. The compassionate mind helps to dispel our negative thoughts such as anger, jealousy, etc., and to overcome mental illness. The practice of compassion makes our mind very calm and works to purify our negative actions or negative karma. Meditating upon and practicing compassion and bodhicitta has great power to purify negative actions. If we practice compassion unceasingly, it causes others to behave kindly to us. It also leads to rebirth with an attractive form as a human being to rebirth as a god. respect or friendship from others will be the result of practicing compassion. In addition, there are many other such temporary benefits of practicing the compassionate mind. The ultimate advantages of practicing compassionate include the rapid development of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment. Someone who practices compassion can also quickly reach other spiritual paths that lead to enlightenment. Also, when the practitioner of compassion becomes a Buddha, he or she can then benefit others in many ways. After they have attained enlightenment, Buddha benefit others because they have great compassion minds. Without the mind of great compassion, can attain nirvana like the arhat of the Hinay tradition. An arhat has no suffering but lacks the great compassionate impulse to work the welfare of all universal sentient beings. Buddhas, in contrast, have the precious mind of great compassion and work unceasingly to benefit others. If one possesses the mind of compassion, one will regard others as precious than oneself. The great Mahayana master, Chandrakirti, said that one mind of great compassion is very important at the beginning, the middle, and the final part of Dharma practice. This means first that if one has a mind of great compassion, one can enter into the Mahayana path. Second, through the force of great compassion, one can complete the entire number of spiritual paths of the Mahayana tradition. Third, this means one can work for the sake of all sentient beings after reaching enlightenment. It has been said many times that the great compassionate mind is the root of the Mahayana path, and it is also the root of bodhicitta. Therefore, there arise unimaginable benefits from practicing this compassionate mind. If we develop a very qualified compassionate mind, this is a precious mind not possessed by many other beings, not even by a high god such as Lord Brahma. A person who generates the mind of great compassion has a very special and valuable mind. If we contemplate the temporary and ultimate benefits of the compassionate mind, there will arise a strong desire to practice compassion. The objects of compassion. All sentient beings are subjects of the compassionate mind. No single sentient being is not the object of the compassionate mind because each and every sentient being experiences suffering. All living creatures have sufferings, problems, and fears. Therefore, all these creatures are the objects of compassion. We should extend our compassion to all sentient beings. It is said that Buddhas and other realized beings are not objects of compassion. The reason for this is that Buddhas do not experience suffering or problems. Thus, we do not need to meditate on compassion for the Buddhas. Instead, we should meditate on compassion for all sentient beings. It is sometimes possible that a sentient being may feel compassionate toward a Buddha. But is that real compassion? There is one story which illustrates this point. On the bank of the river Ganges, there was an old woman who had leprosy and was in very poor condition. A monk called Kusali met the old woman, who was in fact an emanation of Raja Yogini. A female manifested herself as a poor-looking old woman. The monk Kusali felt strong compassion when he met the old woman and asked her where she was going. The old woman replied, "I would like to cross the river Ganges, but I have been on this bank for many days and no one has helped me. Therefore, I need assistance." The monk developed a very strong, compassionate mind and said, "Get on my back and I will take you across." With the old woman on his back, the monk started to cross the river Ganges. When he reached the middle of the river, the old woman transformed into Raja Yogini. Buddha Raja Yogini then took the monk to her pure land. In this story, the person who felt compassion was an ordinary being and the object of compassion was a Buddha. But when the monk developed compassion for the old woman, he did not realize that the object of his compassion was an emanation of Raja Yogini, not a poor sentient being. He did not consciously feel compassion for a Buddha. If we do realize that the object is a Buddha, and then we develop compassion, this is mistaken compassion. But the monk in the story did not know the object of his compassionate mind was a Buddha instead of an old woman. Therefore, his compassion was not mistaken. But in general, the objects of our compassions are all sentient beings. How to practice the compassionate mind? The practice of the compassionate mind we explain here for people who are not very familiar with the Buddha's teaching. First, we should try to develop a compassionate mind toward our friends and relatives. This is an easier kind of compassion to practice and it should be followed by developing wider compassion. to cultivate compassion for our close friends and relatives, we should consider the kinds of suffering they experience. We might think that they experience little suffering, but according to Dharma, this is not the case. If we think carefully, we can see that even if they are not experiencing great suffering now, in the future they will experience inevitable suffering, such as sickness, old age, and death. Our friends and relatives have no choice. Because it took samsaric rebirth, they will experience suffering. After considering the sufferings to which those close to us are subject, we should think how wonderful it would be if they were released from samsaric suffering. If we can generate this thought or feeling, we should hold on to it without letting it diminish. We should meditate on this compassionate thought. When this thought arises, our mind has been transformed into the precious mind of compassion. Even when we are not in meditation, we should not forget the compassionate attitude. What will be the effects of generating a compassionate mind and practicing compassion every day? We will develop a very wholesome mind, and this will lead to good relationship with others. By contemplating every day upon others' unhappiness, problems, and sufferings, we will feel a responsibility to try and relieve their suffering. Also, it is important to think that because we have received Dharma teachings, we should practice compassion. Although our friends may not have received Dharma teachings and a compassionate mind, we have been fortunate enough to have received the teaching, and therefore we can put them into practice. Others who have not received the teachings will not have the same opportunity to generate a compassionate mind. The practice of compassion is very helpful in day-to-day life. If we successfully develop compassion for our friends and relatives, we should then extend this to others. Through contemplating the sufferings of our neighbors, fellow citizens, people in hospitals and prisons, we can gain an understanding of how others experience suffering. When farmers observe the lives of office workers, they may think that such people have a very good life, but even office workers have no pure happiness. Rather, they have many worries and inner and outer problems. When office workers consider the farmers, they may think that farmers have a very pleasant life, but farmers have to work hard every day and have many hardships. The office workers may consider that presidents and prime ministers have a happy life, but they too have no pure happiness. They can have more mental problems, more dangers, and more fears than other people. If we examine different life situations carefully, we can see that everyone has suffering. What is the basic cause of everyone's suffering? The cause is rebirth in samsara or cyclic existence. The source of all our problems is impure rebirth. Realizing that all beings born into samsara have many problems, we should think how excellent it would be if all beings were free from their inner problems. This feeling or thought is the compassionate mind which we should try to develop and hold or concentrate on. Sometimes we may find it difficult to generate compassion for those who are very rich, hold high positions, or are very fortunate than ourselves. But it is also possible to develop compassion for these people. Compassion can be developed on the basis of realizing the future sufferings of people who are now fortunate. We can feel compassion for the wealthy person who, although not appearing to suffer now, will definitely experience sufferings such as sickness and death in the future. No one holds a high position permanently. Buddha said that whoever has high rank finally loses it. In samsara, there is not one being who never falls from higher to lower status. Thus the rich and powerful will one day lose their privileged position. We should think that a person who experiences great suffering now and a rich or highly placed person who is not now experiencing great sufferings are really the same. One person experiences suffering now, the other will experience suffering in the future. Both are equal in their experience of suffering. The difference is only the time during which the suffering occurs. Thinking in this way, we should try to cultivate a compassionate mind toward the wealthy and powerful. Sometimes it is difficult to develop a compassionate mind for our enemies. We should consider that even though an enemy tried to harm us, he experienced terrible suffering through developing an angry mind. By harming us, the enemy lost his mental peace and happiness. Seen in this way, the enemy had no choice but was forced by delusion to act against us. We can try to develop compassion for our enemies, without contemplating the sufferings of our enemies and their lack of freedom when they are motivated by negative conceptual thoughts. It is difficult to feel compassion for them, but if we practice skillfully, we can develop a compassionate mind toward all sentient beings. However, without training ourselves, this is hard to do. After we have developed compassion for all human beings by contemplating the many sufferings which all humans experience, we should extend our compassion to animals. If we think, for instance, of the cows which are slaughtered by human beings, we will feel compassion for their suffering. The cows which are now peacefully grazing their fields will soon be taken to the slaughterhouse. If we contemplate this, we can feel compassion for these animals. In a similar way, by contemplating the sufferings of other animals, we can develop compassion for them. There is another method of generating the mind of great compassion. First, we should contemplate our own problems and sufferings. We should consider our mental and inner problems, physical problems, and problems of gaining and keeping possession. Future sufferings and sufferings of all other kinds should be contemplated. Obviously, we will experience the sufferings of sickness, old age, and death. In between these problems, many more problems will arise. Our next life will bring still more problems because ordinary beings have no choice about when or where they take rebirth. In summary, we should think that we have no real choice but must encounter much pain, great suffering, and many problems in the future. By contemplating our own suffering, there will arise a wish to escape. This wish or thought is renunciation, but it is not the mind of compassion. If we develop the strong feelings of having many, many problems and sufferings, we should then consider that all other beings experience equal amounts of suffering. We should think, no matter how much I suffer, I am only one individual, but others are of infinite number. How wonderful it should be if all these numberless beings were relieved of their suffering. Santideva said that first we should contemplate our own problems and then, taking these as an example, how to develop compassion for all other beings. If we cannot first develop the wish to escape from the sufferings of cyclic existence, it is very difficult to develop the wish for others to be separated from their sufferings in cyclic existence. Sometimes it is hard to develop a desire to avoid our sufferings because we cannot recognize them. We fail to understand that cyclic existence is full of suffering. But if we can recognize our own sufferings, we should develop the wish to escape from them. Then, changing the subject of our thinking, we should cultivate the wish for all others to be released from their many sufferings. This last wish is the mind of great compassion. Thus, practicing this method helps to develop the mind of great compassion. Jisangkhapa said there are two principal methods to develop great compassion. The first one is to practice and meditate mainly upon affectionate love for all sentient beings. The second method is upon the basis of affectionate love. If we mainly contemplate other sufferings, the mind of great compassion will arise. If we have successfully meditated on affectionate love and contemplated the sufferings of others, the mind of great compassion can be gained easily. Buddhists talk about suffering for many reasons. No one really likes to hear about suffering or wishes to experience it. But by contemplating suffering, we can reach spiritual realizations. For spiritual development, it is necessary to see the faults of samsara. Therefore, we should meditate our suffering again and again. Through contemplating our own suffering, we can develop renunciation. Through contemplating the suffering of others, we can develop the mind of great compassion. Contemplating suffering in these ways leads to us to great benefits. Three types of suffering. All sentient beings experience three types of suffering: the suffering of misery, the suffering of change, and pervasive suffering. The first type, the suffering of misery, comprises physical suffering such as pain, old age and death, and mental anxiety. This kind of suffering is familiar and it's not difficult to recognize. The later two sufferings, the suffering of change and pervasive suffering, are more difficult to understand as being suffering. Because these two kinds of suffering are not usually recognized as being suffering, many beings consider that they are happy in their samsaric existence. But it is important to realize that these two kinds of suffering exist. The suffering of change is apparent happiness, which is developed through the force of reducing great suffering. But soon this apparent happiness transforms into suffering. For example, if we are extremely hungry, when we eat some food, at first we experience apparent happiness. But in reality, such apparent happiness is the suffering of change. We have only reduced our great suffering. If we eat more and more, soon eating will become a cause of suffering. In the same way, all samsaric happiness are of the nature of the suffering of change. The samsaric body and mind are pervasive suffering. The reason for this is that all suffering arises from the samsaric body or mind. Pervasive suffering is like the ocean from which different types of suffering arises, like waves. Every sentient being experiences these three sufferings. If we visualize all sentient beings surrounding us and experiencing endless suffering, we will wish them to be free from their sufferings. If we concentrate on these countless sentient beings, we will receive benefits equal to the number of beings visualized. If we can recognize the three types of suffering and develop compassion for all sentient beings, this is excellent. But if we cannot do this at the moment, we should begin now to train or cultivate a compassionate mind. It is very important to contemplate and meditate on a compassionate mind. The teachings about the compassionate mind are not very hard to understand, but it is difficult to develop and gain experience of the compassionate mind without exerting great effort. Therefore, we need to redirect our efforts and energies toward achieving the mind of compassion.